Okay, we're back with my co-host, who is still Bill Hubbard, market analyst at optech.com.
I should hope so.
James Foley, senior FX analyst, or strategist, in fact. That's much better, isn't it, for Rabobank. How are you today, Jane?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Well, offline, you were both agreeing with each other. I don't know
if... What?
Yes.
Bill's got somebody to agree with him. That's not bad.
I give her money.
Right, Jane, should we start with the Fed?
Sure.
What was your take on what they said last night or what they didn't say last night?
Well, again, you know, the market, it seems, has taken it as saying, well, they don't appear to be in any rush to hike rates. But they were more hawkish than before. They did take out that statement about international conditions. So they were more hawkish. So I think they are leaving their options open till for a June move. Our house view is that they will go twice this year. And in fact, if you don't look at the statement, but you look at a lot of the rhetoric coming over the last few months from lots of Fed officials, then I think it's easy to determine that many of them are prepared and are getting ready for a hike. So I think June is on the cards, unless we get some sort of catastrophe with respect to economic data.
Well, the controlling economy is so strongly. They've got everything, looks as they've got everything totally as they want it to be. But as far as the timing on, you said June, after June, isn't it too late? Isn't it too close to the election?
I don't know if that really merits a reason. It very much depends on the data. So, for instance, if they don't go in June, and then by September, we really are seeing a lot of wage inflation, a lot of inflation, I think they'll go in September anyway, irrespective of the election. So I think the economic reasons have really got to be there to determine whether or not they go. I think on the margin, the politics could be a reason if they really weren't sure, if the data just weren't there.
Jane, don't you think, I mean, my feeling is they got themselves boxed in because they were really preparing us last March for a move, which they didn't do until December.
Yes.
I mean, people have got to be saying, you know, do not do it again.
Well, this is exactly it. And again, there is this concern also that they could lose their opportunity. Now, there was lots of criticism wielded at the Fed last year. People said, well, they should have just done it in September. They lost the opportunity.
Yes.
And again, we could say the same about now. Yes, there has been a slowdown in growth that's likely to be seen in Q1.
But we knew the first half was going to be a disaster,
exactly.
Darling.
And even Yellen, who positions herself as a judge, as a dove, continues to point out that domestic demand is there. The labour market continues to improve. And we are seeing a pickup again in inflation expectations. So there are enough conditions for them to do it. The risk is if they don't, we could potentially have another unwind of perhaps some data in China and a disappointment again.
Yes.
We have a chart to look at. We have a slide to look at, which is very, very complicated as far as about steroids. I'm not quite sure what that means. QE is like a steroid, and thus what has...
I think, you know, there is one of these criticisms about QE and many of these extraordinary policies is that they do create a lot of side effects. And, you know, the side effects with Q2, we had a lot of attention last year on the wealth creation that it was producing in terms of asset prices and therefore the inequality that was driving. Now, we've also had various other concerns about extraordinary policies, particularly after Japan went negative on January the 29th. And we see this very much in Japanese banking stocks. They have not recovered. They remain under pressure. There is a huge concern that the negative interest rates, particularly in Japan, is weighing on banking
stocks. Isn't that the point? The whole point of the QE and the zero interest rates was to save the banks, and now they've gone into a policy that's actually the worst scenario that they can't.
Presumably, why this has been likening it to a steroid. So you might get, you know, long term issues associated with this type of medicine. So I think that's probably.
So you're saying the Bank of Japan may not appear in the Rio Olympics?
that certainly seems to be the case. Or any Olympics, particularly when you put in inflation as a competition, it's certainly the laggard. So with respect to Japan, yes, you could say the negative interest rates, the impact on banks' balance sheets is a problem universally for any country that's used negative interest rates. But Japan, you know, perhaps unlike the US, there aren't the same development in capital markets, meaning that a lot of credit most of the credit comes from the banks. So that if you do have banks' profitability called into question, you could actually be potentially hampering credit creation,
yes,
which of course is what this policy is supposed to enhance. So consequently, the banks in Japan, under a lot of pressure, politically, you see some politicians moving away now from supporting this sort of policy. And even in the Bank of Japan's January minutes, which is of course when they came out with the negative interest rates, four of the nine members of the MPC voted against it. Yesterday, two members didn't want to.
Yeah, but well, isn't the point also that we were never supposed to get to NERP? We were supposed to lower rates from 7 to 5 to 3, something like that. And by that time, over a 2 or 3 year period, by 2011, 2012, everything would be back to normal. But they've kept on going with this policy. When is the date when somebody's going to put their hand up and say this was a total mistake and we got it wrong?
Well,
the Japanese are not going to do it because they've already it's been 25 years. But somebody on this side of the world is going to start one day is going to say, look, you know, the emperor has no clothes.
Yes.
That's it. It's been a disastrous
mistake. People are already beginning to. I mean, Japan has potentially been in this situation for 25 years.
Yeah.
You've had a senior official at Japan's largest bank recently, you know, really saying that the negative interest rates is potentially a negative or a bad policy. You've seen other politicians in Japan beginning to criticize this. And I think quite clearly, globally, there has been a lot of criticism about the negative interest rate scenario and this perception. We know now that this is not an ordinary business cycle. Why it isn't, we're not quite decided. A lot of factors, demographics, too much debt, an awful lot of reasons, but we know we're not in a normal
question.
The zero interest rates has destroyed the business cycle. We don't have the normal boom to bust cycle that we've been at 7 years good, 7 years bad. We now have just an extended 2%, 1% sort of anemic growth pattern.
I would
it
say
just goes on and on.
The negative interest rates, I would say, probably hasn't destroyed the business cycle. I think that was destroyed already by a number of other factors, but it certainly doesn't appear to be helping it. And it, you know, it certainly deserves a lot of criticism, really.
Jane, you just mentioned a point about the new norm about, you know, negative. It's like looking at GDP numbers. Mm. We have 3 months to reevaluate GDP. And of course, we're always going to look back 20 years ago. Well, we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have done that in 1929. The Fed shouldn't have raised rates in 32. I mean, it's all very, but the central bankers are supposed to be looking at the now situation.
Well, they are. And to be fair to central bankers, a lot of them, I think particularly Draghi, keeps on bashing on about the need for structural reform in the economy. Now, I think he is quite right.
I agree.
We do need to have more structural reforms, which will ultimately, you know, raise wages, raise unemployment. The only thing is, a structural reform in the shorter term is unpopular. It can actually put up the unemployment queues before putting them down.
Look at Greece. Look at Austria's situation. Okay?
Completely.
And
this is the problem, because there is no real support for structural reform. And if you look at, particularly in Europe and perhaps now in the US, what we're seeing is many people really disillusioned with politics. And you've had a movement towards the far left and the far right. Now, this is a protest against the politicians that we have.
Right.
And without a mandate, these politicians cannot do the structural
Very briefly, if you have the time, looking ahead in the six-month consumer sentiment, University of Michigan in consumer confidence, okay, talking to friends of mine in the States, what are they concerned about? What did you just say? Political dissension, disenfranchisement in the States.
Absolutely,
okay?
Yes. There's this perception in the US and Europe that we have elitist politicians, that they're not doing enough for the people. People disillusioned because we've had years and years of very low wage inflation. Now, that is a function of lack of structural reform, lack of productivity, etc. But it's very difficult for the politicians to put in policies that will improve that because they don't have the mandates. Hence the pressure on the central banks, and the central banks just cannot get us out of this problem.
Jane Furley, senior FX strategist for Rabobank, thank you very much for coming in today.